Welcome to Three in the Key.
Watch Jamal. Okay, so shoe off. And the shoe hit right there, hit Corey Joseph in the face.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Really hurt. Whatever lump there, you idiot. Who throws a shoe? Honestly. You fight like a woman.
With your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias L. Zane alongside Dave Tripp.
Yeah.
And Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
The gang is back in action. Dave was missing last week at a wedding.
I'm glad I'm back.
Was the wedding good?
I cut a rug, let me tell you.
I bet. What was your best song?
It was Crazy in Love, Beyonce.
Obviously.
My girl B.
Did you just reenact the music video?
A little bit. With you know, I'm missing some of the body parts requisite to really get up and down on that song. But I do what I can.
I thought you'd do a great job.
Yeah. No, I did a great job. If the video comes out, I'll post it on the Instagram.
Megan did the Jay-Z part. Whirl.
What's that?
Megan did the Jay-Z part.
No, she sat down pretty quickly. She's pretty embarrassed. I was most definitely Queen B. There's no question.
That's true.
So you were Jay and B.
I was mostly B.
Another packed episode for all you guys out there. Preseason basketball is in full effect. It's like we're in almost mid-season form. But
yeah, may as well be the regular season.
Yeah, it's still preseason. Well, Joel Embiid is taking threes. It must be this season.
Good
yeah.
Lord.
It's just like Kansas.
A couple of NBA trade rumors involving the Bucks. We've heard some about the Cavs and Kevin Love. We'll get into that in more detail in a bit. Corey Joseph gets hit in the face with a shoe tossed by Blake Griffin during the Clippers game.
That's right.
That's a great little clip, eh?
Oh, man.
Everybody's okay.
And, like, Corey Joseph is all up in there playing, like, hard D, and then whack.
Whose shoe was it?
It was Blake's.
No, it wasn't Blake's. I think it was Jamal Crawford's.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Someone else's shoe. A Clipper player. And it just
Why was he holding it in the first place?
I think it was in front of him, and he picked it up trying to toss it away, but...
And
he got
tossed
the pass, And then, he got the ball, and he tossed the shoe away, and boom, Corey Joseph thought he was going to get knocked out. Like,
could you imagine?
Like, bye, I'm out.
Good thing he wasn't wearing Doc Martens.
That'd be crazy. They're not that good on the court anymore.
Remember, you can get a hold of us by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3inthekey. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram at the3inthekey. You can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. You can check out our website, the number 3inthekey.ca. And also, you can find everything about our episodes now. Some exciting news.
This is big.
From
this is
us
huge.
Here at 3 in the Key. We just got picked up, and we're happy to be joining the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So, almightyballer.com. You can go there, find a whole bunch of different types of podcasts from hoops history to fantasy basketball to
WNBA,
WNBA,
oh, there's tons of
college.
Stuff.
We're on there now, and obviously...
What's our hook? Are we like the Canadian one?
Just the handsomest guys, probably.
Yeah, I think
maybe. No disrespect to anyone out there. We're just like...
We are on another level. That's true.
We love everyone on the network.
You go to the website, though, and have a quick look at the banner.
Yeah.
Far right. A couple pretty striking-looking young lads there.
In animation form.
Wow, even better.
So that means I mean, even more attractive.
I'm getting old. No wrinkles on the internet.
That's so true.
So, yeah, 3 in the Key, you can find us there at the Almighty Baller Podcast.
We're proud to be a part.
Excited.
Of course, on the network, and like I mentioned, all different podcasts from different stuff about basketball in the game on there. Today's program, we discuss preseason basketball, obviously. We talk Denver Nuggets with Nathan Beatley of Nuggets Love. Swish or miss a little later on in the program. We have a couple of questions from some listeners that will get answered. Utah Jazz got some bad news. This is a team we were really looking forward to.
I know. They're Gordon a sexy Hayward, pick for a lot of people.
Yeah, they're Gordon Hayward, their star, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Injured, 6 weeks, up to 6 weeks, dislocated a broken finger. How's that going to affect them?
I think there are a lot of fans are saying, who's the next team that's going to crack that 50-win mark? And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are saying the Jazz or that team. 6 weeks without Hayward isn't going to necessarily put that out for sure. They've got a lot of good depth. You know, Alec Burks coming back off injury. Exum's back. Rodney Hood, who had a huge step last year.
And they also went out and got Boris Diaw on a trade with the Spurs. They signed Joe Johnson.
That's a huge move.
They went out and got George Hill in that three-team deal on draft night
or right before draft.
So they have a lot of players coming off the bench this year, which was a pretty weak point for them, I would say.
Definitely.
Last year. But Gordon Hayward, obviously the guy that will go out and get you like 20, 22 points a night.
Irregular.
No question about it. But he is hurt for the little first bit of the season.
I think
is it going to be a major effect?
I think they can survive this.
Oh, I definitely.
For the first start of the season. I know, obviously it's a slow start, slow stop start. But I think they can survive this if you said 6 weeks. They can get probably, I don't know, 15 wins there, maybe? That's 15, probably, right? I think so, around that area.
But it's 6 weeks, but it's only, what, like, I think it's going to be, like, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe,
of the regular season,
so a month's time.
Yeah.
I saw them coming out the gates hot. They're a team to me that's really developed late in the season last year. You got all these guys coming back.
Trey Lyles, healthy. Canadian.
Yeah, man. I love Trey Lyles. I think he's going to be a great player, obviously. Kentucky Wildcat. He can shoot from anywhere. Really good player. They got a lot to be excited about in Utah for the first time in ever.
So that's why this injury is so...
Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer were some
good
times.
Yeah, they had a couple good years.
Those were the best times, weren't they? I remember that one time they had Karl Malone was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was the mailman.
That's right.
He delivered a lot of points.
More or less.
Illegitimate children
Something
as
like
well.
That.
Yeah, along those lines.
I think putting the ball in the bucket is part of the game.
More or less, yeah.
He did a good job at that.
He's quite good.
Joel Embiid, you know, he's... Every time you look away and you look back,
I don't
want to
look
somehow.
Away.
Yeah, me neither. Shooting threes.
Good Lord.
Dunking all over people. He did get dunked on, though. Ian Mahimi.
Oh, he dunked
on him? Dunked on him. But he's blocking shots and everyone. I don't know. Something about Embiid. We saw him on the bench for the last 2 years, so I guess we didn't really look at him and see how real of a giant he is. Mm. You put him on that court, and I swear to God, I thought they just brought him from Mars. I'm like, this is where Philly shipped him the last 2 years. Where
he's been redshirted.
But he goes up to the PA announcer, and he's like, I want to be introduced as Joel, the process Embiid. And they did not oblige. They did not call him that. What do you guys think of that?
I like the name.
I like the nickname, the process.
I like it too, but I don't like picking your own nickname, right?
I know,
like,
but that's a funny one.
But it kind of reminds me of Paul Pierce, right? With the truth, but like Shaq gave him that nickname. And that makes it, like, sorry, if Shaq gives you a nickname, that's it, you know?
Shaq also called D-Wade the Flash.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think there's that. I think the process is just perfect, although I know it's tough.
From now on, you guys are no longer the professor. From now on, I'm King Superstud.
I don't like it.
Yeah, see?
Mr. King Superstud.
As soon as you give yourself a nickname.
Don't cave
nah,
in.
No, Keep it going. Like, no, you can't nickname yourself, guys. Like, Joel Embiid will definitely have a nickname. This guy is outspoken. He's aggressive. He's all over the place. Maybe he'll become the process, but you got to wait for somebody with, you know, some cred to actually say it.
I think he just wants to do it because look at how, you know, I'm delivering. This is what they drafted 2 years ago. This is what Sam Hinkie got fired. Well, not really fired because he stepped down.
Yeah.
But this is why he was taking all that heat for. And he's posted pictures of him on Instagram and said, calls him the GOAT and stuff like that. So that's... I think it's funny. I'm really excited to see Joel Embiid play. Obviously, he probably won't play on back-to-back nights, and he'll have, like, what, 25-minute
a fantasy question
per night.
Mark, but he'll be a lot of fun to watch this year.
I'm excited. It makes you feel better as a Sixers fan about Simmons being out. You know, you can kind of – you have
makes
some
more power
little, like,
because if it would have been like, oh, my God, Embiid out for a third straight year, and now Simmons out as well.
Yeah, why do I like basketball?
Philadelphia. But now
they've
Ben
been
Simmons,
asking themselves that for a while, though. Let's be real.
He's out
for Smith,
3 months.
Baby.
At least Iverson got Hall of Fame, right, guys?
He was the
well,
answer.
Dr. J.
Yeah, that guy too.
Yeah.
I believe Daryl Dawkins is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yes,
they got the Thunder.
They got a few beauties.
Did Eric Snow ever make it?
No, but Ben Simmons is going to be out for 3 months, right? Till December or January. But there's been talks about holding
even
him
full
out for the
year.
I don't get that, man. What is it, like a redshirt season?
Well,
when
just
you
because
get drafted
the,
what happens? This guy's a superstar, okay? Like, Ben Simmons is a special player that you can build around. Do you really want to have him come back for half of a season and maybe get re-injured? And
I
who knows? Maybe that's
no,
that.
Maybe, okay, if it takes longer than 3 months, maybe 4 months, but just bring him back.
Did the Sixers need to make the playoffs this year?
No, they don't, but have him play and adjust to the game, the speed of the NBA, see what he can do with these guys around him. Maybe he's better with Okafor instead of Noel, or maybe he's better with Embiid instead of this guy. See what fits, because for sure you're not trading Simmons.
Oh, of course.
I don't know if you're going to trade Embiid, because he obviously showed some flashes in preseason of what he can do. But Noel and Okafor still question marks.
Yeah, they do have eight centers, so they got to trade one of them. At least two, probably. So it's but I think this is I was going to say something, and I totally forgot what I was going to say. I thought it was something to do with the agents for Ben Simmons, and I think something about him not wanting
him to play.
Play early because he didn't want to take the spotlight away from LeBron or something. That was the rumor that I heard.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if Ben Simmons can take the spotlight from LeBron. That's not even
That's a bit of a stretch on day one of his career. He had a couple nice passes in preseason, but like, let's not get excited. LeBron does, after all, have a bit of a jump shot. So
in summer league, not even preseason.
Precisely.
If I was LeBron, I'd be afraid.
I don't know.
I don't think
you know, I'm excited to have Ben Simmons
just
in the
pulling
league.
Our legs. Yeah. Here. It is Thanksgiving weekend in Canada.
That's
by the
right. Your turkey leg. That's what I'm pulling.
That's going to be good.
Turkey's going to be good later this afternoon.
Already in the oven.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I'm going to have two turkeys, I think, just to myself.
Ooh. Twin turkeys. Love it.
Trade rumors also in the NBA. Obviously, the Bucks have been a conversation, a team that's been out
there.
Don't
remind me.
We'll go pick more here on the Professor Dave with his Bucks. Greg Monroe and Carter Williams' name have been up in trade rumors since the end of last year. Since as early as the deadline last season, going into this draft and obviously throughout the whole summer, two guys that they, I don't know, if they want to trade, then they go out and say, no, we don't want to trade them. They're going to help us win. At least that's what Jason Kidd, head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, said about Michael Carter-Williams. He'll most likely, I think, come off the bench.
I think so.
And lead that second unit. And now there's even been talks of bringing Greg Monroe off the bench, a guy who they gave a maximum contract to last offseason. But I think this could help. He's not going to be good in the starter position, but give him some backup minutes, him and Carter Williams leading a second unit, who two guys could be starters on any other team. Leading a second unit could be damaging.
Here's the thing. The Bucks with Greg Monroe on the floor as their starter are a bottom five defensive team in the NBA. When he's on the bench and John Henson starts, they're a top five defensive team in the NBA. Do you really need that offense when you've got Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker and, with any luck, a healthy Middleton? I mean, like, I don't think that you need him coming off. I think he's more effective coming off getting his 20 points and 10 rebounds off the bench.
I don't know if he'll put up 20 and 10 coming off the bench. That would be
amazing.
He
did pretty well last year off the bench when he played.
20 and 10 off the bench, he'd be an all-star and sixth man of the year.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe a stretch. I'm getting excited.
It's a dreaming Bucks
fan. I know what
you mean,
but definitely he probably can still put up, I think, a good 15 and 6 or 7 off the bench would be amazing for them.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. I don't think they need to trade anybody right now. I know the rumors are that I think they're okay at the moment. You know, I mean, they've been talking about these trades, but I think they're okay. I want to see what they can do with the team right now. Obviously, Middleton hurts.
The one thing with Greg Monroe is he won't improve defensively, I don't think. I don't think he's going to become a stopper around the net, and that's what they need, because Parker doesn't do that.
No.
And you're obviously going to start Jabari Parker. He's the player with your highest upside.
Speaking of Jabari Parker, did you guys see him? Hit his head on a dunk. He dunked the ball and it still looked like he was going up.
I love it.
What?
This guy is obviously put a lot in this offseason.
I think he's going to be, that's why going back to a few weeks ago when we talked about the SI top 100 players, where he was ranked was ridiculous. And I'm like, are they really, you know, just because he had an okay season last year coming back from a crazy injury, a knee injury where he tore his ACL. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, and he's going to be really good and remind people why he got drafted second overall that
maybe,
year.
Maybe a most improved player nomination. He could be in line for something like that. A guy who, I wouldn't say he underperformed coming off an injury. I think he had a strong season last year, but he's got a lot of room for.
I still, he still has a big chance to even be better than Wiggins. I don't think Wiggins has really shown enough to be that number one pick
yet. I think
yet.
Parker's got the upside offensively.
But I think this is the year where Wiggins elevates, because he did take the summer off from Team Canada.
Yeah, that's why he better be good.
Yeah, exactly. Because
a lot of pressure from
Canadians are a little sour about that.
Yeah,
but he's gonna come in, I think, with Towns and Tom Thibodeau, and they have Rubio's passing skills.
Chris Dunn coming off
Chris
the bench.
Dunn. I mean, Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, some young guys. They made some noise last year. Gorgui Dieng, who I really like defensively, he rebounds the ball. They can do a little damage. I don't know. It's kind of tough always in the West, but hopefully I'd like to see it just because as a young team, you want to cheer for that underdog, go for that 8th and 7th spot. And I also think the Denver Nuggets can challenge them for those two spots. We'll talk about the Nuggets a little later on.
Wolves would be like my league pass team, though, for right now.
For sure.
Yes. Like, if I'm not watching the Warriors and Cleveland,
you know,
if Simmons were healthy,
it might be the Sixers for me. Like, they'd be a lot of fun to watch between Simmons and Embiid, but... I like your pick with
the Wolves.
They're
literally your college team. So
well, essentially. They were Kentucky Blue. I love it.
Exactly. There was another trade rumor going on. It was with the Cavs trying to move Kevin Love.
I don't understand it. They just won a title.
Just won a title with him, but they want to...
Although he didn't really do much.
They want to sign J.R. Smith, and so it seems like they want to... Like, the J.R. Smith has been not signed yet. It's been a mess so far.
Tristan Thompson all over again.
Exactly, and LeBron said that. He doesn't want to deal with this again. Like, it's very upsetting. So, the first look was Miami. So, Pat Riley trying to, whatever he did, screwed up in Miami, trying to bring back the old Heat to whatever they were. At least have a fighting chance in the East, because they do not look good right now. So, Kevin Love would obviously go to Miami, and... The buzz is going to be that the Heat would grab Dragic, McBob's, and Winslow.
Back to Cleveland.
I think giving up Winslow would be a horrible mistake by Miami.
I think that's the piece of the puzzle that Cleveland would love, because you get a guy, a young forward, two-way guy. He can develop more offensively, obviously. I think he's not a great shooter yet, but I think he will be very good defensively. And you get him on a rookie contract?
To me, he was the clutch player in that national championship run for Duke. I think Okafor was obviously a great player, but I think Winslow is the guy that really put them on their back in the tournament.
Right.
And those are big games.
Was really good.
He was the most
outstanding player of the Final Four. But I don't like this deal.
The other one, though, that maybe going back out west, where Kevin Love could meet up with his old U Club buddy in Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Love traded for Victor, who just got there.
But if you chain him to Cleveland, Cleveland's going to have to deal with this whole dilemma again because he's a free agent next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that makes more sense. I think that could help the Cavs better than having...
Yeah, but if you do that and you're the Cavs, then you don't have to sign J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I think it gives both teams a hole if you were to make that trade. I think the Cleveland would hurt at the four. I don't really know what they have to fill.
But
that
does LeBron want to lose JR?
No.
The glue of the Cavs? Or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, obviously he wants him. I've said this. JR Smith is looking for $15 million per season. Okay?
No. Bye. Good night. Have a nice life.
The guy needs to buy a new shirt. I mean, give him a break.
No one wants to give him that, obviously, because no other NBA team has made an offer. And I feel like the Cavs are offering maybe $10 to $11 million. They're about $4 to $5 million apart.
Hey, take what you
That's
can
what
get.
Shumpert, I think Shumpert re-signed last year. What was it, 4 years and $40 million?
Yeah.
So about the same thing. But
yeah, that's fair.
That's a lot of money for a guy that's...
got a weird haircut.
Yeah, he's either going to... He'll probably start, sometimes probably come off the bench. I don't know what their thing is going to be in Cleveland, what's their set rotation. But the shooting is the one thing, obviously, they'll miss. But they brought in Mike Dunleavy, who wants to win, who's a vet guy, who could shoot it as well. But it's interesting to see how this whole J.R. Smith, I don't know, I'm not going to say problem or fiasco, but this contract situation is going
to
play out.
It is definitely not a situation.
To me, Cleveland has to make Kevin Love work this year, or else they have to move him. Because he's too valuable an asset to be collecting dust on your team. Like, the guy's never really brought what he brings to the Cavs. And if he's not going to cut it, trade the guy. He's an asset.
Yeah, but you know, he's a third option there.
Yeah.
He had to make some sacrifices. It's not like when he went to Cleveland, when he got traded there.
But he's
there.
A third option that isn't used properly.
Yes. Yes, true.
Yeah, because he gets lost. It's like some matchups, like against the Pistons, he was awesome. But like some matchups, Love is just lost, you know?
Yeah, and we saw that against, not too much in the East last season because they had a pretty easy go at it, Cleveland. Yeah. But in the finals, he did look a little lost at times, but he was pretty big for them in Game 7. And imagine, like, listen, if Cleveland wouldn't have pulled that off, if LeBron James wouldn't have pulled off what he did in the finals, this summer would have been so different. We would have been talking about Kevin Love in a different uniform.
Maybe even LeBron?
Sure.
Maybe even LeBron. I doubt it. It would have been a hot topic for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
Durant
would have
been in
think.
Cleveland. The whole thing would have been weird.
Everything would have been different. Let us know what you think. If the Cavs should trade Kevin Love, or should they stick out with him, for half a season up to the deadline, or for a full season, depending on how he plays. The3inthekey@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Should the Milwaukee Bucks trade Greg Monroe and or Michael Carter-Williams, or should they bring them off the bench and let them lead the second unit? We want to know what you guys think. You know what I mean?
Like, no, give it up.
Trades are going to heat up. You know, you always have that one trade in November or December before
it
picks up at the deadline.
Yeah, and that's the one that gets things going. You know what I mean? Like, we had our crazy free agency. Let's get our big trade.
My call, it's not going to be a big trade, but I think Rudy Gay will probably get traded.
Really?
Yeah.
Back to the Raptors.
No, I hope not. On that note, we'll be back on 3 in the Key to talk Denver Nuggets with Nathan Beatley.
Reed has it poked out. Jokic has it. Behind the back.
Goodness gracious.
He's got some stuff, folks. Jokic will shoot. No, he'll give it to Gallinari.
Barton with it.
And the three, and it's good. Murray connects.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key. Elias Alzane alongside Dave Tripp and Will Macklin. We are now joined by Nathan Beatley of Nuggets Love. And we're about to discuss the Denver Nuggets, one team that we all here on 3 in the Key think could be, you know, a decent
That's
team.
That's an exciting team.
Yeah, an exciting team to watch. Definitely a league pass team, we believe.
And we got Canadian Love in there as well.
Yeah,
so.
Jamal Murray. And we think that they can probably battle for maybe a 7th or 8th spot in the Western Conference, depending on how they get off to the season. Nathan, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, anytime. It'll be great talking some Nuggets, some Raptors.
What do you think about the Nuggets this season? Obviously, they have a lot of talent. They have some vets in Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, and obviously they have some young guys in Muriai coming in for his second season. Obviously, rookie Canadian Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, Jusuf Nurkic, a lot of guys. There's lots of talent on the team. What could we expect from the Denver Nuggets this season?
This season, I think if you have to expect playoffs, and you want for them, they want to expect playoffs. And many of them have been like, you know, if it's not playoffs, it's a bust. And a lot of, like, the big time, like ESPN, and they're all saying maybe, like, 13th in the West or something. And I think the expectations, you want to see development, and that's going to be key, but you have to hope that the playoffs are the expectation.
I think Denver's a team that a lot of people watched last season, just kind of out of the corner of their eye. They were a team that suffered a lot of injuries. Obviously, they lost Wilson Chandler. Gallinari missed a lot of time. But you saw a lot of players step up in those absences. Like, I didn't see Gary Harris as a player that was going to develop into a borderline elite talent in the league. He was fantastic throughout the stretch. Obviously, Will Barton took a huge step. And the big one for me is Jokic. Like, that guy, he went from a player I'd never heard of before to a guy I was claiming off the wire in fantasy and ended up taking me to a championship. This guy is a fantastic player, can move the ball. He can do it all. Do you think he's the new face of this franchise?
I think he can be. I know many people think that Moutier will be, but if he doesn't develop, I obviously think it's Jokic. But it's hard to be a face of a franchise when you're not immensely popular. And Jokic, he was a second-round pick.
Yep.
He still has a lot to prove in the NBA, I feel like. And just because he had that one good Olympic game, I don't think means that he will necessarily become the face of the franchise. But there's definitely potential there. He has definitely the right way of weapons. And I can feel you on that because he also helped me win a second-place bid
Love
in
it.
One of my fantasies.
Okay, Nathan, we were talking for point guards in the NBA. We know that's a huge position here, and it's so deep in the NBA, but it doesn't seem like that's a deep position for the Nuggets. What is there a question mark and a backup for your PGs in Denver?
I want there to be. I think right now it belongs to Nelson, but I really hope that somewhere Murray can sneak in. He's Canadian. He's your boy.
That's right. That's why I asked.
I hope he can sneak in, maybe, you know, get 20 minutes a night. Because, honestly, he's the future. Jameer Nelson's not part of the long-term plan. Might as well develop him now.
Jamal Murray, but I don't know if I see him as a true one in the NBA. He shoots the ball, lights out, obviously recorded or averaged a best for a freshman in Kentucky history. So that speaks a lot to
along the way.
And he can definitely score the ball. But there's also a logjam. You know, you might not have the logjam at the point guard position, but there's a logjam up front. You know, Nurkic, Jokic, we mentioned. Kenneth Faried, who's been there for a couple of years, but who's kind of fallen off a bit. Do you see Kenneth Faried on the move out of those bigs? They moved Jeffrey Laverne earlier this summer. Is Kenneth Faried the next one out of Denver?
I actually just wrote a little piece on this, and the thing I was thinking was Kenneth Faried, yes, he's not extremely valuable to the team, but just like we saw in the offseason, Denver wants a superstar. They were going for Paul Millsap from Atlanta, and it's like, if I don't think they'll get a superstar talent for Faried. And they had to put maybe Faried and Chandler or Faried and Barton in a package, which they don't necessarily want to do. They just want to move Faried. So it may be hard to find a good trading partner that wants Faried because
he's not a super versatile player for sure, grabbing those rebounds, crashing the net.
Yeah, he's Tristan Thompson, but Nuggets version.
Well said. That's a good comparison, I believe.
So we talked about the backcourt. Or we talked about the front court, sorry, and there's a bit of a logjam. I think there's also a bit of a logjam in the backcourt. Like the Nuggets have so many assets right now. They've been drafting a lot and so well lately, and also making moves here and there to improve things. Do you think that they're going to end up making a move in that backcourt and maybe consolidating some of those assets? Like you said, they want to go after a superstar. They want to get a player that can really bring some name value to the franchise. Do you think that that's a move that they'll make too?
I think it's definitely a possibility. And a lot of times I've heard that they've been the aggressor. But I've also heard that they turned down like first-round picks for Barton. And you think if they wanted to move the backcourt that they may have taken those. So I'm stuck between there because they have like four or five people that can play the shooting guard
for
position.
Sure.
So it is hard to imagine them not moving the backcourt a bit, but it'd be interesting to see what they got and who they got it for.
So do you think, you said earlier, speaking with Nathan Bately of Nuggets Love here on 3 in the Key, it's playoff or bust out there in Denver. So if they don't make the postseason or if they see that the year is not going as planned and they're racking up in the loss column, do they blow it all up? Do they get rid of Gallinari? Do they get rid of, maybe some of the younger guys to try to attract some other things or start from the ground up, go and get some picks and then hope and then build again? What is it really? Because there's so many assets. I don't really know what Denver does if it doesn't go right for them right at the beginning of the season. If they don't win games and they start just losing, how do they go about it? Is it getting rid of those guys and restarting from scratch, or do they stick it out again and try again next year?
I think they have to just... it's a toughie. See, if I were in management, I may just blow it up. Just because they have to, you're not going to win a title anymore if you don't have a superstar. You're not going to get past the Golden State team, or you're not going to get past LeBron. So I think you almost have to blow it up, try to trade Gallo and Faried, maybe
finally
Bart, maybe Chandler. You have to find that star. If you think that's Jokic, then sure, maybe you want to stick it out a bit just to make sure, like, this is our guy. He's going to be a superstar. But I don't know if they're convinced that Jokic will be the man that's there. So That's definitely interesting. I think they'll probably just go the route of developing their young guys more if they start losing games. But it'll be something to keep fans' eye on for sure.
Now, part of the reason why we messaged you to get you on the podcast, Nathan, is because we have the Raptors up here, and we played you on the Tuesday last on the preseason. Now, what did you get? What did you think of the Raptors team? We like to ask all the American folk about the Toronto Raptors. What's your take on them as a basketball team in the NBA? It's pretty bad.
We got one of your guys in Murray, but you guys have some of my favorite players. I love how DeRozan plays. I love how Lowry plays. And I think you probably could have won that game if you wanted to stick them back in. And I think they didn't play hardly any of the second half. But we did get that win. It was nice to see our guys out there. It was nice to see your guys out there. I think you got a good pick with Poeltl, if that's how you say his name.
Yeah, Poeltl, Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, he looked all right. He looked, for a big guy, he looked all right.
And he's going to battle for those minutes up here for the Raptors, him and Pascal Siakam, along with Lucas Nogueira for the backup position against Jonas Valanciunas. But we thank you, Nathan Bentley, for joining us on 3 in the Key.
You're welcome.
I just fade away. I feel
it. Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Fade away. I feel it.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Loving the nug love.
For sure, man. Denver, man, it's one interesting team, I think. We obviously covered it, but
yes,
lots of talent, lots of assets moving forward. Going to be interesting what they do and see if they can push for that playoff position.
Now, on 3 in the Key, it's Swish or Miss.
Dino, what a beauty.
He's the best. So let's go first, Swish or Miss, right off the gate. You mentioned this,
yeah,
Davey.
We were just talking the Denver Nuggets, as I mentioned earlier with the Nug Love. Do you think Denver, with their collection of assets, maybe they consolidate some of the things? Are they a playoff team this year? Do you think they squeeze into that 7th or 8th spot in the West?
Swish or miss? I'm going to say swish. I like the Nuggets to get, honestly, that 8th spot or 7th spot. I mean the West is super super deep. I mean, maybe we'll do that. We'll do our preview coming up before the season starts. We'll do like our rankings and who's going to be in the West and East top spots, but right now I think I would have Denver slotted in there just with their, I know they're young, but I like them. They're going to be fun to watch, which we mentioned. So I think they will be there taking on the Warriors in round one.
Wow. Elias, swish or miss?
I mean, this one's a little tough for me because are we talking eighth spot or are we talking in general? Just crack the
playoffs.
I think we're going to have to swish. It's going to be between them and the Wolves for that last two playoff spots because, you know, you have the Warriors, you have the Spurs, you have the Clippers. I think the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies. Blazers,
Rockets.
The Thunder, the Rockets. So it's going to be tough, but I'm going to have to swish.
Yeah, you know what? I'll swish too with an asterisk. I think that, like you said, the Wolves, if they have a big season, they could be pretty special. If Karl Anthony Towns has that MVP season we've been hoping that he might have, we've been hinting about, it could be different. But I think they've taken a step past my Bucks. Unfortunately.
Only in year two, by the way, for Karl Anthony Towns.
Absolutely. Oh, he's
very
a special player.
And then year two, or year one with Tibbs. So I think that's huge in itself.
Agreed.
Now, I know we have a couple questions from our listeners. You have that, jot it down now.
Yes, one coming in from Chad. He says,
Chad,
KG,
what up, bud?
The Chad.
If KG was drafted by the Spurs and coached by Popovich his whole career, would he have a successful career as Tim Duncan? Swish or miss? KG was drafted in 95, fifth overall by the T-Wolves. Two picks before the Raptors, by the way, Isaiah Thomas, who was the GM at the time, GM and I believe president, said he was going to take KG if he was there. But
yeah, no
obviously the T-Wolves took him a 5. So would he have as successful career as Tim Duncan had he been with the Spurs for
That's a tough one.
His career.
Because the thing is, what it comes down to, obviously, is what's around him.
Yeah.
KG did not have the roster set. Like, he didn't have Robinson there with him in Minnesota. But if he was in that situation in San Antonio, I think he does better than Tim Duncan.
I believe so.
He's better
defensively.
I think he's just better.
Even though Tim Duncan and the Spurs have anchored a tremendous defense over his whole career there.
Agreed.
They've been a top 10, top 5 defensive team every single year.
Yeah, I don't want to take
He never won a defensive player. Exactly. Yeah. Never, not taking anything away from Duncan. He never won a defensive player of the year. KG has. And I think if KG was with the Spurs under Popovich and playing that defense, he would have had maybe at least 2. Because he won one with
you look at what Popovich
3-4 defensive player of the years.
You look at what Popovich does with raw players, like Tim Duncan coming out of Wake Forest. Like, he had 4 years in college, but this was still a pretty raw player. He developed into the best power forward maybe of all time.
Doesn't mean develop, he's fundamental, right?
Absolutely. But that was
back to the basics.
That was Pop. That wasn't just by chance that Tim Duncan became the player he is today as a rookie.
No, he
You look at Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was a raw player out of San Diego State. This is a guy maybe overachieved, but he couldn't shoot when he entered the league. And now look at him. The guy's a 2-time defensive player of the year. He's a spectacular player. He's the guy with the ball in his hands on that team.
And he was like, what, top 2 or 3 in percentage-wise from three-point shooting?
But you want to talk about a raw player entering the league? How about Kevin Garnett? He may be the most raw talent that ever entered the league.
And
him right up there with Kobe. There were a lot of guys. But I think that Swish, big time, I think that KG would be the most talked about power forward in history.
Yeah, he would.
Had he played for the Spurs,
we've been told we've been talking totally different, because right now people slate Duncan as top power forward of all time, not only with our generation.
I saw a list this week that said he was the 4th best player of all time.
So, like, imagine.
I had Bill Russell outside the top 10. So that should give you an indication. Some people think this guy's a pretty special guy, and I do too. He's without question one of the best players of our generation.
But like that, just that
along with KG,
the skill set with KG in San Antonio, you can't match that.
They'd be a totally different team if he was their franchise player.
Yeah, and KG is the one player that comes in and leaves it all on the floor, talks so much trash, but brings that toughness. I think he would have got more defensive player of the years, probably another MVP as well, and a couple of more rings.
Great question, all the way from the African nation of Chad. Thank you very much.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh, his name was Chad. I get it. Okay. Thanks, Chad. Anytime. Anytime.
Crazy. I thought maybe the entire nation that question us.
Dave, if that's
Dave
what they
being
came up
silly.
With, great.
Next question. This one from Simon. It's a good question. Will the Nets win 20 games this season? Swish or miss?
Huh.
Oh, boy.
An overwhelming miss.
Yeah, I'm missing like air ball here.
I don't know,
like,
man.
Jeremy Lin missing his layup.
Yes, that's exactly.
Oh, that was great.
That's gonna sum up.
That's a metaphor for this season.
Yeah,
that's gonna sum up the Nets season. Come on, man. Jeremy Lin. Even Carmelo said it earlier this week. He's one of the faces of that franchise.
This is like a big
Jeremy Lin. No disrespect to him, he's good, but I don't think he's a face of a franchise. They have Brook Lopez, but that's about it.
They should change their jersey from a black jersey to a red flag, because
they
just drafted, they traded Thaddeus Young, one of the only real assets on this team, for a pick that they used on Caris LeVert. This guy has gotten injured in the last 2 college seasons. Season-ending injuries, both seasons. You really think this is the guy that's going to turn around your franchise? The guy that hasn't played in 2 years?
No. These guys are, and they're also playing in a terrible Eastern Conference. Like, that says a lot about, like, this is the team that everyone's going to be beating up.
Ben Simmons is hurt, and I'm way more excited about the Sixers.
I know, exactly.
Oh, bringing Covington, baby.
There's nothing exciting about this Nets team.
Maybe Hollis Jefferson has some upside defensively, but he's not going to score you 15 points and win you a dozen games. They're terrible.
Yeah, they're going to be, I think they'll have around like 15 to 20 wins. Will they win more than 20? I don't think so. Maybe they win 22. But I think they'll be the worst team in the NBA come this season.
The sad thing is,
first round pick will go to
playoffs.
Boston. What? No.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, think about that, eh? Look at how strong the draft is next year. Maybe Boston did the right thing holding on to that pick.
Yeah. Smart play. All right.
Good question, Simon.
Swish or miss? Yeah, thanks, Simon. The question master. We got.
He took the Simon challenge and passed.
Obviously, we're going to swish on Paul George here, but swish or miss on the rest of the Pacers roster?
Oh, good question.
Ooh.
Thanks, man. It means a lot.
I'm swishing because they're going to be a playoff team. So they're good enough to get to the postseason. Thaddeus Young, Jeff Teague, Jefferson, Miles Turner, younger and an up and coming big in the NBA. Obviously,
he's hurt though.
But he showed what he can do in the postseason against
Miles
the Raptors.
Turner.
So I like him, but I think I'm gonna swish here.
You're okay with the start?
I'm okay. I don't think they're contenders for a title. I don't think they're there yet. But they'll probably be. I wouldn't be shocked if they finish, you know, between 3 and 5 in the East.
How big of an improvement is this? I'm gonna miss because 3 and 5 in the East, that's where they should be anyway.
Were 7th last year, man. Come on.
Okay, but like I mean, really 7th. You've got a player that's coming off a major injury. They should be bumping up a spot or two. And Paul George, the guy's taking a step. He's one of the elite players in the league. If they aren't 5th to 3rd in the East. In not a great conference, like let's be honest.
I think the conference got better this year, though.
I think so too. But it also kind of depleted some of the other teams. So I don't think Chicago's a threat anymore, where they were last year. At the beginning of the season, a lot of people were picking Chicago to finish in the top three. Well, that's gone.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, really, the only competition for that team is the Raptors, the Cavs, and the Celtics. I think that they should be the 4th seed. If they aren't, then they've really blown it. But I think the problem is, how are they going to get the ball around? Precisely. How are they going to get the ball around? You know, all these guys want to hold on to the ball. Monta Ellis. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that'll hold on to it.
I'm going to miss as well. I think Paul George is your big guy. I mean, everyone thinks MVP is kind of like the Russell Westbrook situation in OKC. He's kind of the only guy there.
Yeah.
And also losing, like, getting rid of Vogel. Like, he's one of the best coaches in the league, man.
Definitely.
He's gone. Like,
it's going to be interesting to see what he does down in Orlando.
I know. It's going to be fun. Like, I think he's a great coach. And, like, I know Orlando has a lot of question marks.
Talk about another log jam, man.
Yeah. But I mean, losing him, he's part of the reason why that team even made the playoffs.
And we mentioned Miles Turner. I don't like that they've loaded up these front court guys to kind of steal spots from Miles Turner. That's the guy that I would be really showcasing. I'd be building my offense around him because I like Miles Turner. He can stretch the floor. He can play defense in the post. He's a real chip to build around. Al Jefferson is not a chip to build around.
No, but I think he went there because they offered him $10 million
a
year.
Of course.
Right? And he's going to be, a post scorer for them, which they haven't had.
And they had to fill the hole.
Since Roy Hibbert was good.
And
Mahimi left as well. So they'll have a guy to toss it in there and get him a few buckets. But we all know the offense is going to live and die through Paul George on that team, obviously.
Of course.
But I think they have more options this year on the offensive end. Last year, yes, they had maybe just Monta Ellis alongside with Paul George, but imagine if Paul George had just one better player with him on that playoff team when they played the Raptors. You know, I think we would have been talking for a third straight year Raptors out in the first round.
Yeah,
we could have easily said. Sure.
Also with Miami the next one, if Whiteside didn't get hurt, they could be toast in the second round too.
It's true, but they didn't, and they made it all the way to the East Finals.
Okay, fine. One more question.
As your mic breaks,
my mic just falls down. Like a clown. DeMarcus Cousins is entering his 7th year. Isn't that the weirdest? Boogie Nights should step up this year, kind of rise above all the dysfunction in Sactown. Swish or miss? Is he going to do that?
I mean, he kind of has to.
Agreed.
Unless it's a big miss for him and the organization. He's just still going to be labeled as that dysfunctional center who can put up numbers on a garbage team. But he's in love with Dave Yeager's offense.
Yeah.
And he likes how he's going to implement him, how he used to use Gasol in the post and lots of passing. Cousins averaged 3.3 assists last season. So imagine that number going up to 4 or 5 this year, which will be crazy because, you know, he's going to give you like 22, 23, and 10 a night.
Yeah.
So imagine that. 23, 24 points, 10 to 12 rebounds, and 4 or 5 assists. We might have to put Boogie in the MVP conversation,
for sure,
depending on how Sacramento does team-wise. But this is the other part of my answer, is that he can put up those numbers, and if the team tells all right but they still miss out on the playoffs, I don't think he re-signs.
Yeah,
no doubt. I think that this is a make-or-break season for the Kings and Cousins because he's not happy there. He's had to go through all this. He was happy with Mike Malone. They bring in George Karl. You almost wasted 2 seasons of that team with George Karl. Vlade Divac keeps making these questionable moves. I don't really know.
I know Vlade. Vlade, he likes to party.
That's true. He does like to. He likes to party. Boogie's actually been pretty excited about this preseason so far. He said a lot of things about Ty Lawson.
Yeah,
Dave Yeager's a real deal coach. Like,
I know.
He's the guy
I can't believe Memphis smoked him. Like, I don't understand why Memphis got rid of him.
This was a wacky year for coaches. Like, you mentioned Vogel earlier.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know why.
What is
coaches
going
are
on
moved
out
around.
There?
But like this seems like to be the happiest. You mentioned earlier in the pod that you could see Rudy getting traded, but like
especially how like upset he was after the draft. Like, you essentially drafted the players you're going to eventually replace Cousins with. Like, because they know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way Sacramento is that team fighting for the eighth playoffs, but there's no way.
Well, that's the sad thing. And, like, and nobody's going to these games in Sacramento.
They're
either.
Nets West.
it's really sad. What?
Better. Come
on.
Oh,
yeah. Boogie
better.
Is a million times better than Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
Who's also a good player, but Boogie's the best center in the league.
And, like, I mean, there's so many more teams than California to watch, you know? So, that, I don't know. It's
yeah,
tough
the Lakers.
Being Kings fans.
But, like, look at this. They've drafted in the last 2 years Willie Cauley-Stein, a natural center. Papa Giannis this year. Like, it's ridiculous.
I heard Vlade might play even this year.
Gal?
Maybe.
We'll see what happens.
It's going to be interesting. There's a lot of young guys. I don't see Sacramento.
Yeah,
I don't see Sacramento doing much. They're going to trade Rudy Gay, or at least try to trade him for something, because he's openly said that he's going to decline his option and become a free agent and leave Sacramento.
Where, if you had to predict, where would he go?
He'll go to Chicago. They need more garbage. I'm joking. They need that's the team that's going to roll out the carpet for a guy like Rudy Gay. We're losing our minds in this city. Another player that doesn't
know.
Pass.
Maybe Miami.
Miami would be a good spot. Riley could confuse him somehow and make him go there.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Maybe there. I don't know.
I think it'll be a rental, though. I think he'll go and he'll play somewhere this season, and then
somewhere
he'll be available.
Try to help them in the postseason. And that's...
Somebody will regret bringing him in and let him walk as a free agent after the season's over.
But it depends how much they're going to give up, right? Obviously, Sacramento's going to ask for a decent return, but no one's going to give a decent return for a guy who's openly said that he's going to leave the
for
franchise.
Sure.
So we'll leave it at that, because we are done for Dave Tripp and Will Macklin. I'm Elias Zane. Peace.